Okay, so I am a source of amusement to my children. Anyone else relate to that? I can't remember, I'm not really sure when the lines blurred and I stopped being the sole source of comfort and protection and guidance and I became the butt of jokes. I think it's something that happens to all parents because I can remember doing it to mine, so I suppose it's karma, isn't it? But I'm glad to say I'm not the only one. Brian gets just as much stick as I do, and Auntie Dawn isn't far behind, are you? You know as well, Florin, yeah. It just sort of happens, doesn't it? It just sort of, they suddenly decide that it's worth making fun of you. So I think we have every right to make fun of them and to be the embarrassment to them from then on. So one of the things that they find most amusing about me is I'm a technophobe. I'm scared of technology. I hate it. I can't learn it. It just scares me to do anything. And most of all, the thing that amuses them the most is the way I use my phone. Or I should say the way I don't use my phone. I can text, I can WhatsApp, I can use the phone to phone people. That's all I need it for. I can occasionally manage to use the internet on it. I've never bothered to set up emails. My phone is quite old and basic, but I know my phone can do a whole lot more than I let it do. It has the power, it has the potential, but I just don't let it realize its potential. For so many, that's their Christian life. They get the basics, but never quite realize the potential. Ben introduced our new theme, Life to the Full, a couple of weeks ago, and he made 3 points. Number one, a full life, that it's God's purpose for us to have a full life. God loves to fill things up. Number two, a fulfilled life. It's our potential to have a full life. A filled life, filled with God's presence. Paul speaks about this in his letter to the Ephesians. In chapter 3, starting at verse 14, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure, to the measure of the fullness of God." Wow. I just love this passage. Out of his glorious riches. Do you know there's a treasure chest of riches that God's just longing to pour on you? Thank you, Jesus. Paul prays that we be strengthened with power from the Spirit and know that Christ lives in us. I want to read to you from my reading notes from a few weeks ago that was on this very passage. She says, notice how Trinitarian his prayer is. He kneels before the Father, that God may strengthen them through his Spirit, so that Christ will dwell in their hearts through faith. Each member of the Trinity has a role, with the Father hearing the prayers, the Spirit being bringing strength to the believer, and Christ dwelling in them. With the riches of the Trinity at work, the believers will be able to grasp one of her favorite passages of Scripture, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. This love that surpasses ordinary knowledge to fill us with all of God's fullness. Amen. Praise the Lord. All three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, working on our behalf. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, of Christ rather. It surpasses knowledge. That doesn't mean it's unknowable, but it's beyond what we know. There's always more. We will never reach the end of it. It's wider, it's longer, it's higher, it's deeper. Amen? Amen. So why does Paul pray this prayer? Verse 19, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Wow. Yes, Lord, that's what we want, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Let me read that bit from the translation of the Message, because as I read it, it jumped out even more. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all earth and all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Now we start to realize the potential, our potential. God wants us to live full lives, full in the fullness of God. But how does God bring this about? How does he affect the change we long for? Verse 20 in the Message says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. As I said a few weeks back, we need to be continually being filled with God's Spirit. Ask him daily. Walk your day with him by your side. Be aware of him. Start to recognize his power in your life. How did the Message put it? That glorious inner strength. Live to please him. Pray for people and see answers to prayers and be encouraged to pray more. See him at work in your life, in others' lives. Start to see signs and wonders. And know that he can do anything far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Reach for your potential. As my reading notes put it, he is just that wonderful and that loving. Amen.